All right, we are here, and welcome. Welcome to those of you online, and welcome to those of you here in person for healing your younger selves. Now, you've been in the spiritual, metaphysical studies for a while, and you know that all time is now. You've heard that. You've also heard how reality is an illusion, and all those great concepts that are expansive and beyond the limited day-to-day mundane life perspective. But when you're wanting to heal your past, you have to really allow this idea that the now is where everything is so that you can actually do it. We're going to share with you the techniques, the strategies, the ways to do so much beautiful healing work to build up yourself, to raise your resonance, and to line up with a beautiful, dynamic, and lovely future. But you do have to recognize everything's going on right now. All your past lives are going on now. All of your life in the previous part of your life and this life is going on now. Your future is going on now. Multiple futures are going on right now. So you have everything available to you, but only when you are in the now. And so is in the now, when you hold the resonance as the adult that you are, that you can then you can work with your past, heal your past, and create a new future for yourself, a better future, a more expansive future. Now, in the work that we've done, we noticed that the attachment to the past often comes in the sense of subpersonalities. In other words, there were selves that you identified with. You didn't have much choice. You didn't say, I choose to be a child. You were a child. And you didn't say, I choose to be an adolescent. You were an adolescent. So the child personality, the state of being that is a child, is one of your most important foundational learning times. And that subpersonality, and the term subpersonality comes from the personal growth movement of the early 80s and neuro-linguistic programming, where they found that you have parts. You can isolate, in a sense, a part of you that may be in fear, a part of you that may be in guilt, a part of you that may be feeling shame. And you can isolate these parts and heal them. But we found that it's very appropriate and very elegant to heal by working with the six major personalities. This will cover most of the work that you need to do to heal your past. And the first personality is the child. When you were a child, you were powerless. Your life was determined by these adults around you, these grown-ups who determined what you ate, what you wore, where you lived, etc. You didn't have an empowered choice available to you. You just kind of responded to reality as it came at you, you know? And you had parents, siblings perhaps, family members, relatives, and there were all these relationships with these family members. And you learned how to respond. You learned what the rules were, what you're supposed to do, what you weren't supposed to do. And through it all, you yearned. You yearned for safety and security. You yearned to be protected. You wanted love. Now, most people, when they grow up and they think back on their parents, if they haven't done a lot of personal work and they don't have a perspective that all of this is in divine order, they will tend to look out their parents as, in some ways, as having failed them, or their parents in some ways having so many problems themselves, or even an absent parent or so, that that they didn't get the love that they wanted. So your child self, regardless of how much love your child self got, your child self wants more. It needs more. All right. So there's a part of you inside that still is relating to and resonating with that inner child, that self you were. That's a self that needs love, that needs safety and security, and yearns for it, stretches for it, goes for it. All right. Now, the child has this dance of dynamic between the child and the parent. The parent is the one who has the rules, the ones who determines things, the one who dominates. So the parent says, this is the way you're supposed to do it, and the child tries to do it and tries to please the parent so the parent won't get upset and won't get angry. So you learn to dance around your parents. No matter how loving they are, you still are powerless, and you still need to kind of adjust and learn the rules and fit in on and try not to get them too distressed. Because when they're distressed, you feel really bad. They can feel, they can look at you and they can convey to you that they're disappointed in you, that somehow or another you're not good enough for them, or they may even not be interested in you, or they may love you so much that they smother you. So whatever relationship you have with your parents is a very significant one, and it determines how you perceive relationships throughout your whole life. In fact, even in your adult life with significant other, you can still play parent-child games. And if you do play the role of child or the role of parent and back and forth with the other, you basically can sabotage your relationship. But we're not talking specifically about relationships now. We're talking about the child personality, who is trying their best to fit in, their best to somehow or another avoid conflict, avoid pain, to avoid the anger or ire of the parent. And the parent who feels responsible and needs to raise this child right and has a sense of order and needs to give that child a sense of order. And so in the raising, your parent has trained you according to their perception of gender and what gender does, what do boys do, what do girls do. They teach you all those kinds of rules. And these rules stick in your head. By the time you're about 10 or 11, you have developed what is called a conscience. And the conscience is where you internalize the parent speaking to you. And the parent, if you have a very critical, judgmental parent, you'll internalize that. If you have a parent who's like a space cadet, who's whatever, you know, very creative, you'll internalize that. And you'll try to balance it out. If the parent is disorganized, you'll try to get organized. If the parent is over-organized, you'll try to break free. You try to adjust to try and find yourself. So the child and the parent dynamic is probably the most intense, bottom-line, foundational dynamic in your life. And most people going through therapy and going through any kind of life coaching or any kind of psychological processing work spend umpteen hours, days, months, sometimes years, trying to process this relationship between the child and the parent. You can heal that relationship, even if your parents now are pleasant people or detached people or whatever they are at this point, or even dead. You can still really heal that parent-child dynamic. And when that happens inside of you, when you do that, you feel peace. It's quite amazing to feel the freedom to be yourself when you get that internal parent dissolved and healed and reformulate it. Now, child and parent are one team, one pair. The second pair that you encounter when you grow up of subpersonalities. The first one is the adolescent. Well, you by the time you get to 11, 12, 13, whenever it is that you go through puberty, then you are finding those hormones surging, and these hormones put you into a place of looking for a certain sense of belonging. You want to belong. You want to be accepted. You want to fit in a way that doesn't call undue attention. You're kind of very generally tend to be kind of very sensitive about your appearance and what people think about you and so on. And you know, you can be an adolescent your whole life and still be worrying what people think about you when you're 60. But the thing is that when you're an adolescent, it's natural for you to go through this experience. You don't often, except for very, very rare adolescents, have the same amount of poise and a sense of confidence and so on that would enable you to kind of overcome the fear of rejection, the fear of humiliation, the fear, the shaming that sometimes goes down in late childhood and in early adolescence. And so the adolescent is needing acceptance. The adolescent needs belonging. The adolescent wants to be safe with other people and safe in its world. Now, it has a pair. Just as a child and the parent play off of each other, the adolescent plays off of the social ego. We're going to call it the social ego. It's not a positive ego. It's pretty negative. And the social ego is the one who takes everything personally, is easily offended, easily upset, trying very hard to be a perfectionist, trying very hard to get everything right, everything so right that if it's everything were perfect, that all would be well, then you'd feel safe, then you'd feel okay, then everything would work right. So you bounce back and forth. The social ego and the adolescent don't bounce back and forth against each other as much as a parent-child, but there are two ways of expression of the adolescent. And you know people who are very sensitive, extremely sensitive to any kind of possible criticism, so that if you say anything that could possibly be remotely interpreted as critical, people can fly off the handle or get extremely upset or try to make you feel guilty or withdraw or whatever. That's adolescent ego, right? So that high degree of sensitivity to others is what marks the adolescent, these two components of the adolescent. Then there's a third pair. By the time you reach about 18 or 19, like when you go to college or when you're out in the world working and so on, you're a young adult. Your physical maturity has been completed. You are fully at your height that you're going to be, and you're basically an adult physically. You may not be emotionally, but you are physically. And this is a young adult. And most people focus on the needs of children. A lot of people focus on the needs of adolescents who go off the deep end and get into addictions and drugs and crazy stuff and all that kind of stuff. But young adults, you're supposed to be able to handle everything now. You're supposed to be able to make your way in the world. And the thing is that the young adult does have a propensity to feeling that they know it all. Now, think about back when you were a young adult and think about how you thought you knew what was what. Oh, yeah, you know, the president, we don't like the president. I could do so much better. You know, these rich people, they're really screwing up. I could do so much better if I were rich. You know, this is the way the world should be. This is the way it should work. And so you have your projection of your imagination, your creative ideas. The dreamer, the visionary is all part of the young adult. But the young adult doesn't have the full experience. So the young adult is in fantasy and theory, and still thinks they know it all, right? And it's really hard for a young adult to come into the workforce if they have to come and start at the bottom, because they have this whole entitled elitist kind of thinking. I know what's what. I'm here now. This world now. Here I am. So what are you doing, you know, fawning over someone else, you know? So the young adult has a tremendous amount of creativity and very poor follow-through. So what happens is that they can get lost in fantasy. They can play and you know, in the 20s, your 20s, which is your young adult period, is a time when you should be exploring what it is that fits you, what works right for you. And so you can imagine all sorts of things. The way the young adult shows up in a lot of people is in business. The young adult is the one who wants the huge big deal or win the big megapot of the lottery or so on, have this huge fortune, and now I can get to do what I want to do. Now I can start my life. Now it'll all work. And so all those business people who get together and dream and imagine huge business possibilities that tend to fizzle and fall by the wayside are people indulging in their young adult without a sense of integration, without a sense of anchoring or grounding or whatever in what's really going on. Okay, now the young adult has its friend. It has its correlation. It's kind of like the ego to the adolescent. It's not necessarily that you bounce back and forth against it, although there is some of that. But the motivator is because a young adult can't follow through very well at all, they need some way to motivate themselves. They need a passion. They need discipline. And young adults are, for the most part, don't really like discipline much. And so they install in themselves a sub-personality called the slave driver. That's what we call it. And we gave a whole seminar about the slave driver, and so we recommend that if you want to know more detail about it, please watch our video on true motivation, because it's so important. But what the slave driver does is it forces the impatient, playing around young adult, it forces it into the channel of fulfilling duties and obligations and getting into the work world and really making things work in an adult way. But it's basically like, you know, put your shoulder to the wheel and carry the burdens, and the slave driver is the one who brings that to you, and they do it through fear and guilt. If you don't take on these burdens and do this, horrible things will happen. You'll be rejected, or you'll disappoint your parents. There's one side. The other one is that, oh my gosh, you'll never be successful. You'll never get out of this slum that you're living in. You'll never, ever do anything good. Nobody will ever love you if you don't get yourself moving and get up off your butt and get things going and make yourself a success. So there's the fear, but there's also the guilt. The guilt is, but you should be a good person. And if you're a good person, then you will find yourself, not sleeping much, working long hours, achieving, and taking care of everybody and doing everything for everybody and being everything for everybody. And you'll be this amazing, amazing person that everybody will adore and look up to and love and whatever. But you're not. And so the guilt is like, oh, you slug-a-bed, you sleeping in too late, bad you. Oh, you're not attending to your duties and obligations with a good attitude, bad you. Oh, you're not working hard enough. You haven't done enough. You aren't good enough. You aren't smart enough. You aren't working more elegantly enough. You're not enough. And in order to be enough, you follow the dictates of the slave driver and get locked in to your life. Okay? Now, as we say, we're not going to go in more detail about this, but these six subpersonalities color the vast majority of your consciousness right today. Even though you may not be a young adult now, you know, your child, adolescent, young adult are still struggling in a sense on a certain level with being them. Yes, you don't have to be them, but you do have to be you, okay? Now, they're not all there are, but those are those we have found that when you work with those six, you can get the most amount of healing of your past in the least amount of effort, the most elegance, okay? Now, other selves may be there. There may be a particular trauma that you went through. And the self that suffered through that trauma may still be holding the trauma. It may be holding the trauma in your body. And so you would also want to heal that self as well. Some of you had traumatic births. So your infant self may be traumatized. Like for the one who channels us, she was born a month early and she spent time in an incubator. And in that incubator, she was trapped. She was, they had lights on all the time, so she just could not pattern to diurnal rhythm. And even to this day, her diurnal rhythm, her day and night rhythm is iffy. It's okay, but she didn't get to imprint it there. And she was separated and isolated, and she didn't get mother's milk. She didn't get mother's love. Now, everybody has their experiences, but like she had to experience that as an infant, and that colored her life. So any type of experience, like a self that you were at one time, it could be only 5 years ago, that made a really bad mistake that has cost you dearly, and you're still carrying the guilt or the suffering from that, would be a self that you would want to go heal. So you want to heal these six selves, and you want to heal any other selves that are suffering. That because any suffering in your past that is not healed will continue to pull you and shrink you into the old victim energy of the past. And it's very important for you as a spiritual being to be a victor, not a victim. It's important for you to hold a higher resonance. After all, the new world is coming. The new world has opened up. You've stepped into the new world, and you don't want to kind of, you can't carry your wounded child or your hurt and damaged adolescent or your lost young adult. You can't carry them with you into the new world. So you go into the new world, and then there's a stress, and you respond to the stress as you had years ago, the self that was first encountered that stress and determined the reaction to it, even though you may not have had good good techniques. You may not have had much education about how to respond to stress. You responded to stress as instinctively as you could. You watched your parents, how they responded to stress. You watched, you know, other people, and so on. And so when that happens, it's very easy for your energy field, for your resonance, to leave your adult self so that you're no longer in your adult beingness. And instead, you're shrinking down into your young adult or your adolescent or your child. And when you shrink down, because they are smaller and more limited than you energetically, when you do that, you lose your power, you lose your freedom, you lose your capacity of choice. Okay? So there are people who have repeating, aggravating patterns. If there are patterns that you just keep going through over and over again with just different people and different circumstances, but the same darn pattern, then what it means is when that pattern shows up, or the stress or the tension that calls that pattern into being, you shrink back into the self that suffered from that pattern and originally established it, established the response. Now, what if you had a pattern as an adolescent, you responded to it as a 14-year-old? You could possibly still have that pattern going, and you could still be responding as a 14-year-old on some level now. Okay, so you want to be able to identify, you know, with the source of your patterns and who it is that initiated your patterns, and you can go heal them, and you can start really energetically, beautifully healing your patterns so that you can break those limitations. And your patterns have this whole element of familiarity to them. It's like when things start to happen, you kind of knee-jerk response, automatically response, and it feels familiar. And you tend to, if you don't consciously think about it, you tend to go for the familiar. So how do you keep from going for that familiar, limited response? Well, when you heal the past self who created that pattern, then when that pattern shows up again, challenging you, you're going to be more aware and awake, and you're going to go, oh, this is the pattern. Instead of going knee-jerk automatically reacting to it in an old way, you go, oh, I don't have to respond that way anymore. This is the pattern I had when I was such and such an age and back there, and I have repeated it, but I don't need to respond the same way anymore. In fact, when you work with your past selves and heal them, you are free. You are free to make new choices, more mature choices, and choices that are going to give you much more capacity, much more empowerment, much more freedom. And that's what you're really looking to do. Now, your younger selves are alive in you. Like we said, they're all here present now. And you may have a relationship with them. And you may not even be aware of it. If you go on a big growth stretch, your younger selves may get freaked out. Oh my gosh, you know, this future self that I'm hoping will fulfill me, that I'm hoping will heal me, oh my gosh, they're going on without me. And so if your child or adolescent selves panic, then what they may do is they'll come in much more strongly trying to force you to knee-jerk automatic go back into the old pattern. And so unless you've healed them, it's really hard to stay in your true present self adult, okay? So because they want to pull you back to be with them, they don't want you to abandon them. So you need to assure your past selves you're not abandoning them, that you love them, that you're fine, because they're offering you the old familiar. Okay, and when you get caught with that sense of, okay, I'm going to go here because it feels safe and familiar, don't go there. That place is not a good place if you're doing it automatically. You must be in choice. So identify who you are now. As the adult, if you're going to work with your past selves, you need to really be in your adult. Who are you now as the adult? Okay. Are you empowered, or do you still identify with people who are victims, identify with strugglers, identify with people who are stuck on the fringe of society? Do you identify with sick people? Do you identify with old people? Or you identify with repressed people? Well, who do you identify? Okay, you do identify with people who are too fat, too old, too ugly, too skinny, too whatever. Where is your identity now? How do you see yourself now? Now, it's very important to have a very positive and adult, mature, empowered self-image. And that's why last We did do that seminar on expanding self-image. So if you have a sense that you're not really fully in yourself and you don't feel really competent in your adult decisions and choices and beingness, you may want to take that seminar and get into the detail of it. But the point we're making is don't let the familiar old limitations define who you are. You're so much more. You are a divine being having a physical experience. So you want to create a new future for yourself. A great deal of what you have come to the physical plane to do is to manifest and create, to create a new life, to create a new future. That's why you're here. And in the process, for you to recognize who you are, to understand that you are a divine being, that you are a luminous light being, that you have the freedom, the love, the empowerment, and you have the support of your universe. You want to get there. Now, to whatever extent that you are there is where you, the current adult, exists. Okay? Now, when you want to work with the younger selves, they're going to have visions and dreams. They're going to have, especially the young adult, has plenty of visions and dreams. Very, very much into it. So you don't want to go with their visions and dreams, even though you may have been hoping that at some point you could take those old visions and dreams off the back burner or out of the shelf and actually use them. What we would suggest is that you as the adult need to have your visions and dreams upgraded, present, current, and ready. Okay, so if you don't have them, we would recommend that if you are dreaming that, oh, one of these days I'm going to write the great American novel or whatever it is, then you need to go and reevaluate that, rethink it, upgrade it if necessary, discard it if necessary. Make sure that whatever your visions and dreams of your future are, that they match who you are now, not who you have been. Okay? Because if you do that, if you, kind of identify with who you have been, it's not going to be as easy. You're not going to have as good a success in healing your younger selves because you kind of will want to be your younger self. You'll keep falling into your younger self. And we notice that even people who do a lot of spiritual and emotional growth and education for themselves will often find will find that they will get stuck in their young adult because it's so much fun to be in the young adult. You have ideas and imagination and fantasies and visions and possibilities, and that's all the young adult. And people just get really hooked in, oh, I want to be there again when I had all that optimism and all that hope and all that excitement before the duties and obligations and burdens crashed me, right? So you want to look out. You want to look at your dreams. You want to look, especially the dreams of your future, of your future self. You want to look at the dreams of your young adult self so that you can distinguish who you are from your young adult. Most people are still in young adult. And it's wonderful. You can always have visions and dreams and ideas. That doesn't mean you're in the young adult. You know, the child has incredible creativity and imagination. But you don't want to, every time you have creativity and imagination, shrink down to the powerless child level. The adolescent is curious, engaged, and eager to learn and just absorbs information like crazy. And, you know, there are people who keep going to school, and they go and they get an advanced degree. Then they get another advanced degree, and then they do even another advanced degree. You know, and they just keep going to school, because that adolescent self just adores all the learning, okay? Adolescents are curious. They want to know about everything. They're, you know, so if you're curious and you want to learn and so on, that's great. Don't overdo it. Don't get into the adolescent. Don't get stuck there. Use that joy of learning and as the adult that you are now. And so you can have all the benefits of the child, adolescent, and young adult. All the positive sides can be yours. You don't have to deal with the negative sides. You can have the creativity of the child, the imagination. You can have the intelligence and the learning and the growing of the adolescent. You can have the adventure and the visions and the ideas of the young adult. But as long as you stay in true adult, then you can hold that. That enhances your resonance. But you don't want to go back into the limited states of where you're limited, you're powerless, or you're limited in power, you have fear of being ridiculed and judged and rejected, where you've been shamed, where, you know, you don't want to go back there to access your gifts, okay? And you see, when you work with your younger selves, your memory is selective. You have a memory of what went on back there. And what we're going to do today is we're going to take you in meditation to your younger selves, and you're going to see what they feel and what they think and where they're at. And what we want to say is that you as the adult have to stay separate from that. Do not go and step into your inner child or adolescent or young adult. Don't go there. Don't step into those selves, okay? You want to keep your current self separate, because in that case, if you can keep that distinction, then you can do something. You can do the healing. You're powerful enough. You can do the healing. And how do you do it? You do it with your imagination. Imagination is 5D, fifth dimension. It's more real than what you see here in 3D. And when you imagine something, your body assumes that that's what's real. That's what's going on. It's like, and your memory is selective. Whatever you imagine in your memory, what you go to in your memory about an earlier self, is your spin on it, your take on it, your orientation to it. It's not necessarily what exactly actually happened. It's what you concluded happened. Okay? And so as a result, your memory is fluid and flexible. Okay? And your imagination is fluid and flexible. So when you go as the adult to visit a past self, your imagination can shift everything. You can imagine everything, and you can choose to feel what you want to feel, and you can choose what you wish to remember in association with that self. For example, if you go and heal a relationship with your child and the parent that was so damaging back when you were 7 or 8, you can heal that, and once it's healed, the memory of that child, memory of that childhood experience becomes distinctly different. You don't associate so much pain with it. You've healed it. There's a sense of lightness. Yes, you still know roughly what happened, but the emotions and the limitations are no longer there. So it just becomes a story, like a story of somebody else says. It's not really even your story. You're not even identifying with it anymore. It's something happened in the past. It could have just as easily happened to a neighbor, because you've taken all the significance and the meaning and the charge out of the pain, and you've healed. And so your memory will not go back to the pain part. Your memory will access, yeah, that was a really bad time. Yeah. But there won't be any sense of limitation. There won't be any sense of impact on you now. You won't be subject to it. You won't be at the mercy of it anymore. Okay. So That's the most important thing to remember when you're working with them. Now, you see, your past selves, though, are very real in their own way. And so they have a personality. And if you were kind of like a very strong personality when you were a child, and you go to visit your child may be pissed at you. Your child may be say, "Hey, where have you been all this time?" So you have to understand that your relationship with these previous selves needs to be real. It needs to have a richness of interaction, because you want to address that anger at being abandoned. That's the biggest fear, one of the biggest fears of a child. Starts around age 2. Oh my gosh, I'm separate from my mother. Oh, what if they abandon me? I will not survive. And people carry their fear of abandonment throughout their whole life. What if a parent died when you were like 4 or 5, or even 6 or 7? Oh my gosh, you can carry abandonment issues the rest of your life. So it's important to understand that you as the adult can heal these younger selves, and you can allow them to express themselves and be who they are, and you can see the natural essence of you emerging in these selves. And so thus, when you look back at the past, because you use your memory, you can say, okay, because that and that happened, that's what's brought me to here today. If you heal the past, then you can look, oh, yeah, that and that. And then I learned from that about this and that about myself. And look at how much further I am along now today. So you can get a different perspective on the past. And so that memory can line up differently to your present, which then means that your future can line up differently to your present. Okay, so we're going to put you into the lineup. This is a very important and powerful tool, is that not only do you heal your past, but the past heals the present, but the future determines the present. So whatever you're aiming for in the future will increase and lead you in that direction. So it puts you on a track. It puts you on a life track of incredibly amplified joy and love and power and fun and all that kind of thing. It just is phenomenal, right? And so as you do that, then you become richer in yourself. The love with your child self, you can allow the richness of that imagination to come through. You can allow those positives to come through as you now. And as your future self is so much more than who it was before you did the healing, because your resonance shifts up and expands, so the future is going to be richer, more expansive. Okay, then your future self can do for you energetically what you do for your past selves. You can let your future self pull you to a beautiful place. You can allow your future self to heal you. Now, some people get like, oh gosh, well that's a bit of a stretch, because most people think the past creates a present. Mm-mm. The past is just your kind of like your backdrop. That's just the stuff you're working with. That's just the tools that you have. That's just the memories that you have piled up in a certain way, in a certain order. It's the future that determines what you're doing now. And if you're not dreaming for the future, if you're not programming a reality of the future for yourself, you can go nowhere. You can just circle around indefinitely. So that's why we did a seminar on the future, right? These are very powerful and important pieces of what you need to do. So anyway, when you go to visit your child self, for example, Your child needs safety, security, and love. That's the biggie thing. So you go and visit the child. Now you can see it stretched out on a linear track. People love linear thinking, okay? And here you are in the present, and there's a path, goes down through the past, and you see all yourselves lined up there, going back all the way to the one at birth. And if you're so inclined, you can see those behind, before birth, and other lifetimes and so on. You can see it's all back there, and you consider that the past. And so what you're going to do is you're going to walk down this path to visit a particular self. When you go to visit your child self, which will be probably anyone between, you know, about 3 to about 10 or 11, most likely, because that's where most of these patterns happen, that you choose one. We're not going to tell you which year to choose. You're going to sense that. It's going to be obvious. You're going to go down the line, and you're going to visit with them. You're going to go to that place where they are comfortable. And we use the term they for the child self because we don't want to keep saying him or her or his or hers or whatever. There's a limitation in the English language. So we're going to just pluralize them. So when you go to your child self, you see where they hang out, where their safe place is, where the place where they like to be by themselves is. And it could be in the backyard under a tree. It could be in their bedroom. It could be, you know, in a park down the street, wherever they went to be by themselves. And you go and you meet them there. And you go and down the line, and you connect with that one, and you go to that place where you meet them. And you let them know that you are their future self. And being their future self, what you want to do is to basically love them and help them through whatever it is they're going through. Help them with their relationship with their parents or siblings or whoever is their guardians or step-parents or whoever it is that's raising them. And you help them and you love them and you hold them and you nurture them and you give them that sense of safety, security. And what we like a lot with this technique too is that you bring in your guardian angel. Now, you've had a guardian angel ever since you were born. And it will be with you till the day you die. And you can bring in your guardian angel to be with them, to love them, to take care of them, to just to have a great time with them. So that's what we would suggest. And when that happens, they feel really safe and secure and loved. Okay? And then you make their life perfect. You make their life beautiful. They'll have friends that will never betray them. They will have wonderful, loving parents, the ideal parents. You may even have to swap out the parents pass over a magic wand. That's always a good one. Children believe in that. So you can just pass a magic wand, da-da-da, 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 with a few stars and sparkles, and the parents suddenly become the ideal parents. If the family is poor and struggling, you can give the child a money machine. And they just have this money machine. They just hit that. And all these bills keep coming out, and it's infinite. And they can do that, and they can give that to their parents, and their parents can buy a big house, and they can live in the country and run with the dog in the woods, and they can whatever the child likes. You know, you can just fulfill all the child's fantasy needs. Okay. Now, the adolescent needs belonging and acceptance and approval. They want to know that they're okay. And so you want to heal that. You want to let them know you're there. Now, adolescents don't like to be hugged that much. They're like, well, I want to be more independent. Well, great. Now, what's really great about this technique too is that you don't have to expect your child or your adolescent to be mature. You're the mature one. They're immature. That's just their nature. So you let your adolescent have everything that they want. You know, for example, if it's a girl, maybe she wants to have magical plastic surgery so she looks perfectly beautiful, and it removes that extra 10 pounds that she really despises. So she has a perfect body. If it's a guy can be, you know, sexy and charming and win championships and, you know, whatever it is. But you fulfill their fantasies. And again, you can bring in guardian angel. The guardian angel, there's many duplicates of the guardian angel because there's one for every identity of yours. There's one for every parallel reality of yours. It's the same guardian angel. They can be everywhere because they're non-local. They can be everywhere in time space. So bring in the guardian angel who will oversee and look over the adolescent and, of course, give the adolescent a money machine so they can buy goodies and can be totally, totally adolescent jerks if they want to be. Well, give them the freedom to be immature, to do stupid things, like, for example, to be rebellious, to have wild affairs, to do drugs and do crazy stuff. Don't limit them. If that's what you were thinking about when you were an adolescent and you were always a studious one, but you wish that you could have been a wild, crazy one, well, let your adolescent be the wild, crazy one. You're not hurting them. You're just giving them what they want. Okay? And when that happens, then their demand on you to fulfill them will diminish and go away. See, the child is looking to you, please, please be safe, please be secure, please be safe, please be secure, please, 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 get enough love, please, I need you to get enough love. So, you know, this can drive adults crazy, you know, trying to get safe enough, and sometimes you never feel safe, you know, sometimes you don't ever seem to get enough love, or you get a partner who doesn't love you enough, or whatever it is, and the child is, and the adolescent are there going, hey, hey, more, 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 we need more, we need more. What they're wanting is so that they can be fulfilled, okay? So when you fulfill them, you take all the pressure off yourself. It lets you off the hook. And so with the young adult, same thing is true. Let the young adult be immature. Give the young adult millions of dollars. Let them do whatever their fantasy heart imagines. Let them marry whoever or not marry, or let them live on a yacht in the Mediterranean or whatever. Let them get a pop record number one, win Grammys, become movie stars, get Oscars, whatever it is. Give them everything that they want. It doesn't matter what. You know, give them the money machine. Let them have everything. Don't feel jealous. You're just gifting them so that they will be happy and they'll get off your back. Because the young adult keeps wanting you to take care of business, keeps wanting you to be successful, and you're not successful enough. You haven't achieved enough. You haven't gotten enough. Now, throughout the process of doing these three, you have to heal the parent for the child. You have to heal. You have to diminish and separate out the ego. You don't heal the ego. You can do work with the ego. Give the guardian angel to the ego and start loving the ego. But the ego is malicious. The ego lies. The ego is manipulative. And so you just really want to just kind of chill it out, shrink it down, send it away so that it doesn't interfere with your thinking, so you don't get too obsessed about what other people think about you, okay, and how much success you have, and how much money you have, and how you don't have as good a car as the other person, and any of those kinds of games, you can let that go. And in the young adult, you want to get rid of the slave driver. Now, in the seminar, True Motivation, we took everyone through the slave driver, letting go of the slave driver and getting into your true motivation, which is your true passion, your true desire, your true visions and dreams that are in alignment with your essence, not in alignment with what you think you should be achieving or some way to impress everybody with what you're achieving. You want to get that slave driver out of the way. So we'll just take you briefly through a healing of the slave driver as well. Okay. Now, once you get those six, we're not going to go to any more. It's going to require a certain amount of focus for you to be able to go through these three meditations in the meditation segment today. It's sometimes it's really hard enough just to do one, but if you're going to really heal your past selves, there are distinct different personalities between the adolescent and this child and the young adult. You need to have three different ways of addressing them. And what you'll do is that you'll do healing with that. There'll be forgiving on both sides, and which clears out so much junk and so whatever. And then you, in a sense, you take that child self and you bring it up the line. You know, there's the timeline from the past to the present to the future. We talked about the line, the path. So you just bring up this beautiful child energy up the path, and you join it with a beautiful adolescent energy, all so free, so happy. Join it with a young adult energy and bring it all the way to the present. And let the energy of that freedom wash over you and into you. Now, when you let that happen, it is awesome. You are freed. This will also give you much better mind talk. Most people have their child self, adolescent self, and young adult very heavily engaged in their inner mind talk during the day. And so if you go over and over certain judgments of yourself, for example, you're probably that's probably your adolescent talking. If you go over some fears, so much fear and worry, that everything's going to be okay or not or whatever, then that's probably your inner child is still freaked out. So your inner voices, your mind talk that goes chatters all day, the monkey mind, is going to feel very different. It's going to be calmer, because when those judgmental thoughts arise with the emotions of the adolescent in there, it can be very tempting to go slide right back in there and make them real. But it's your choice to make these emotions real. It's your choice to believe in the mind talk. The mind talk is just chattering on and on. A lot of the mind talk, particularly the ego part, is totally lying, just making stuff up. So everybody's got this in their head, and of course you don't know what other people's mind talk is about. And so you don't know that other people have mind talk even. You have yours, and you live in yours all day long, okay? What if all the negative thoughts, all the limiting thoughts, all the worries, the fears, and the concerns, what if they were all gone? What if you didn't have that to think about all day? When you heal your past selves, it can eliminate most of that so that you don't have a negative thought for days. You don't have a limiting state of being for days on end. And then when you do fall for one, you can laugh and say, oh, ha, I fell for my adolescent again. Okay. And you can go to the adolescent and said, Okay, what else do you need? Let me give it to you. And you'll just turn the thing around, because you're not giving it, making it real. You're not making all the pain real. You're not making the trauma real. You're not making the past real. And when you don't make the past real, then you can allow the present to unfold in its beauty, and then you can allow your dreams to awaken you and move you into that light future. So, of course, after you do the six, then you want to connect with your future self. And this future self is the future that you want, the future that you desire, the future that you crave to have. All right, this future you is the one who is healed of any emotional issues, any physical issues, any financial issues, any relationship issues. That's all healed. Okay, so what's that going to feel like? What is that future self going to be like? It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be so freeing. It's going to be so delicious, so wondrous. So when you meet that future self, you know that you're looking at an optimal future. Yes, if you stay in your limited self and look for your future, you're going to find a very diminished one. You know, if you worry, you're going to find the future you worry about. See how important it is to not worry? Because you don't want to take yourself there. So where you put your attention, where you focus on over and over and over and think about the future in regards to it, if you're thinking about the future in regards to pain and fear and suffering and privation and fragility and all sorts of problems, well, that's you programming a very negative future. Worry, as you know, worry doesn't do anything for you. You know worry has no value, really. All it is rumination over worst-case scenarios. That's not the future we suggest you meet. We suggest you meet the future who is the free one, the future who has whatever it is that you truly want, the future that can express the essence of your divine nature freely and expansively. This future can love you. This future knows how to love. This future is loved. There's a joy in it, a celebration of that future. There's a thriving, a vitality of life in that future. So you want to go visit that future. Or you can, just like your younger selves and you can invite that future to come be with you in your private space, in your personal space, where you like to go to be alone and think. You invite your future self in. We recommend that you connect with your future self every day or so, and that you expand your self-image every day or so. And the reason we suggest that is because the higher the resonance you have, the more healing you can do in the past, the better the future is, everything is going to crank up, everything is going to lift up. And so when you do healing on your younger selves, you'll have a sunnier, more beautiful past. When you work with your future self, you have a sunnier, more beautiful future. And if you're on the line in between the past and the future and you're right there in the middle, what are you going to feel? You're going to have to feel sunnier and more, you know, more beautiful. It's got to be. Your life has got to change that way. And when you heal, that joy of just not having to hear the same old yakety, 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 yak in your mind, to not have to be under the same limitations anymore. Able to dream beyond what you have been doing, to imagine and stretch and grow freely. That's going to be a wonderful feeling. And the thing is that you can change your life now by getting both the past and the future resonances lifted. Then your resonance, your field of resonance, your field of vibration lifts. And when it lifts, you're happier. More magic comes to you. More miracles happen. So you're going to work with six. Now, after this seminar, we recommend that you go back and do some more follow-up with these six just to stay on top of it. Sometimes you have to go and visit your child self, you know, once a week or twice a week or something for a while until the child self really makes the shift and gets fully happy and so on. For the channel, she had to, she got her child self to fulfill the child's dream, got her a cabin in the woods, and the child went and lived all by herself in the cabin in the woods. But she would be, you know, brought food and things like that, but just come and give it to her, kind of like, you know, some of those meditators in the mountains and in India and Tibet and so on. And they would come to the caves and they would meditate in the caves. And there would be people who would every day bring them their food and their water and stuff, leave it there, and go away so that they could continue meditating. Well, that's kind of the way that it worked for the channel's inner child. She was about 7 or 8, maybe about 9, and she just wanted to be out in the woods. And she would go out and she'd talk to the animals, and they'd talk back to her. And she would have these wonderful relationships with the plants and the animals and the streams and so on. She was just totally, totally happy. And she was there for probably about 5 years. The channel would go back and go to see her, and poof, there she'd be back at the cabin. Okay, so the channel would show up at the cabin, and the child self would be there all giggling and running around. And so on, climbing trees and doing all that kind of stuff. And so, so the channel went and visited regularly over time, and every few months would go back and so on. She'd still be there. And then the channel discovered when she went to visit the child that the child was now living in an Indian village, wanted to be a Native American and was riding horses bareback and doing all sorts of things. It wasn't a typical Indian village because, you know, she was still a girl, but she wasn't like a squaw or, you know, all doing all the work stuff. She was able to do the play stuff like the boys. She was able to ride the horses and go out and shoot with bow and arrow and practice all that. So she was having a wonderful time. And she was there for a while. She was there for a few years, too. So your child self will basically dictate to you where it wants to be and what it wants to be doing. And so you just honor that and you just love them and just make sure they're happy. And if they need anything, you give them that. Now, when you grow, sometimes your child self, your adolescent self, maybe even your young adult self can panic. Can think you're abandoning them and leaving them, as we said earlier. We've noticed that when you really jump into the new world, it's even more extreme than that. It's as if you look along a line into the past all the way to birth and you see all yourselves lined up. And then you turn around and you face the future and you march to the future and take a big leap to the future. It's as if all those child selves behind you, all those lined up behind you, no longer can see you. You went to too high a vibration. Then they panic. So sometimes when you do something really big, if you're going to do something like you want to go and do an interview for a job or some kind of presentation to a board meeting or something big, you know, if there's some kind of big thing that you want, And then before you do it, go to your child, adolescent, young adult, or one version of them, because you may work with more than 1 year within that. For example, the child worked a lot. The channel worked a lot with her five-year-old, worked a lot with her seven-year-old, and then worked with her 10-year-old. So you can find that there are some certain key ages that you want to work with, and work with those. And then the channel has worked a lot with the young adult at 21. She had a nervous breakdown at 21, panic attacks, a whole bit, and that did amazing damage to her metabolism and her stress response and so on. So she's had to go back and fix that one multiple times. And sometimes it's in layers if it's really heavy trauma. So we don't suggest that if there's a big trauma, you go back, you do one meditation, it's over. Sometimes there you need to do it a few times. And so that's what the channel had to do. But nevertheless, they will show you. They will the past selves will show you, and they'll pop up as to what they need and who they are and what you need to do for them. And so you don't really have to guess much. Once you get tuned in, you're fine. But when you have a big event coming up that needs for you to be in your expanded adult, in your expanded energy field, and really be on, okay, then you need to first go to the child, adolescent, young adult, maybe several children, maybe all your child selves, having lined up all the ages of the child selves, whatever, whoever's freaking out or would potentially freak out if you disappeared from the radar. And you go and you calm them and say, don't worry, it's all going to be great. It's going to be fine. I love you, and I'll still take care of you. Everything will be great. Here's the guardian angel to be with you. And you just calm them down before you do something big. And we've noticed that when you do that, you can stay in adult through the whole process. You don't panic. You don't lose your thoughts. You're on. You can function better. You can really gain a lot of success. Okay, so that's why we would suggest that working with your past selves can be pivotal in any area of your life, anywhere that you are wanting to be more empowered, want to be more supported, want to make more money, want to have more love, wherever it is. Engage the younger selves and make sure they're okay. Because if they start to panic, they'll come and sabotage you. They'll come and say, no, 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 you don't go there. No, no, no. And they'll pull you down. And sometimes when they all gang up against you, it's almost impossible to stop. And they can block your opportunities. They can destroy what you're doing. So you need to make sure that they are all ready and willing and doing okay and so on. So this is how you work with them over a longer term. Anytime that you want to do a big seminar or make a big shift or something like that, just go talk to them and say, look, I'm going to do a big shift. It's going to be fun. And I love you, and I'm gonna continue to take care of you, and you're gonna have more fun now that I'm gonna do this. And so you just take good care of them, and it doesn't take but a few minutes to tune in to them and let them know that you're going to you're not going to abandon them, but life is going to be even better for them. Because when life is better for you, it'll be better for them. So just stay in touch with them. Love them. They are you. And as you love your child, adolescent, young adult, or in all the various selves that are, you can line them all up. If you're 60, you can line up 60 selves and love them all. What will happen is that you will have more love of yourself. You will feel more value of yourself. You will feel happier. You will feel more free and empowered. The love and the self-value, it will just be awesome. Because every time you hug your child self and you feel as if there's a child in your arms and you love this child and it's you and you know just what this child is going through, you just love, 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 love. You're loving yourself. You are. You're building your own foundation of love and value that you did not get when you were a child or an adolescent or a young adult. You didn't get it from outside. It wasn't given to you from outside, so you didn't know how to build it from inside. This is one of the ways to do that. So as a personal growth path, or healing your younger selves can be one of the most miraculous leaps of consciousness that you can experience. So that's why we wanted to put our attention on that. And remember always to forgive yourself too, because you left them behind and you've been annoyed with them because they keep coming and, you know, pulling on you and saying, hey, hey, I need more love. I need more money. I need more this. I need, I need this. You're going, stop it. I don't want to think about that. So the thing is that you want to really enjoy these younger selves. Don't see them as any kind of a burden. They're not. They're you. They're you. And forgive yourself for having abandoned them. Forgive yourself for not having done more for them or whatever. Don't get yourself into guilt place, okay? Just keep forgiving yourself. Forgive them. Ask them to forgive you. Because sometimes they're pissed at you. Sometimes they're reluctant to be with you. So maybe you need to say, okay, I ask for your forgiveness. And the thing is that when you're doing this, it's your meditation. They'll give it. Really, seriously, your younger selves are very willing and very ready to forgive you because they want the love. And somehow or another, it's obvious that forgiveness going both ways clears the karma, clears the path, clears the energies, and allows both of you to come together in really a pure love and agreement of energy. And so working with your younger selves is really a path to self-love, self-value, self-empowerment, self-freedom, and also gives you an extra boost on your spiritual path because you can also, you know, play with it. You can also not just only bring in your guardian angel, but bring in your higher self, bring in your soul personified, bring in your spirit, which is this kind of sparkly, masculine, dancing kind of energy. Bring in the spirit as well. Bring in the any master teachers you may have. Bring in guides and helpers of all kinds. You can bring in a whole team, your whole team, your whole spiritual team. And it becomes just a big party. It becomes a big celebration with all your younger selves. And by younger self, we also want to make this final distinction. And that is, your younger self can be the self you were last week. If you made a really big boo-boo last week and you feel in shame about it, or you feel hurt about it, then you now step into your adult self and then in meditation, go to that self who made the bad choice and heal her or him. Do forgiveness, both back and forth. All right. So you can play with this until you just get so free and so happy that you're just going to be one of these silly idiots who's walking down the street just whistling and, oh boy, da-da-da-da, da-da-da, and smiling and so on. And we've seen that happen many times. So before we go to the next part of our session, which is the questions and answers, we suggest that you start thinking between now and the meditation we're going to do at the end. What child self do you want to visit? What happened in your childhood? What is a significant age that you feel would be pivotal that maybe you could remember? If you don't remember your childhood at all, then you need to make it up. Just make it up somewhere, okay? And if you just have no clue whatsoever, then go, let's say, go with like the 7-year-old or the 8-year-old, okay? But find which you between 3 and 11, which you that you want to work with first. You can work with all of them eventually, but we just suggest maybe that there was one time where you had much more difficulty with your father, or your father died, or something like that happened. It was pivotal, so maybe you'll choose that. Okay, and do the same with your adolescent. Find what year do you think was the most stressful year for you in your adolescence? Somewhere between 12 and 18, and somewhere in there, could be 11 to 18, somewhere in there. What year was perhaps the kind of a most difficult one, or just one of them? You know, doesn't matter. If you don't have any clue, and it could be anybody, then just go with a 16-year-old. Something, go with somewhere in the middle, and then in the young adult. Anywhere from about 18 or 19 up to 28. And you see, after 28, you get your Saturn return, and that's an astrological reflection of that you've gone through a whole cycle of growth, and now you've grown up and you're ready to start being an adult. So age 29, 28, 29, the Saturn return happens, and so people then begin seeing themselves as citizens who belong to the world, and they want to settle down and get something done. And that's a lot of times they want to get married, have kids, they want to get that job, want to do it, you know, just get their life going in order. So somewhere before that, between that 18, 19, and 28, somewhere in there is a young adult that's a stressful year. Pivotal year or whatever, go visit that one and think about it, and think about what were the emotions that were going on and with the child, the adolescent, and the young adult at that time. So you just, and you know, and also when you're a child, you also want to look at, well, what was going on with your parents, you know, what was happening there. So just start thinking about it, putting it in your hopper and so on, so that when we get to the meditation, you're not going to flail around and wonder, okay, I have no idea which one to go to. So you'll just know which one when we say, okay, time to go to the child self, you'll know, all right? And as we said before, it's going to take a certain amount of concentration because we're going to get a lot done, okay? And so we know that you may not hold your concentration all that great throughout the meditation because it does require you to really be on focus. So if your focus wanders, don't worry about it. You have a copy of this seminar. You can listen to it again and again and go through it again and again. So, but do what you can today and in this atmosphere of because everything's built up to it. We're ready to go with it. And you'll find yourself being able to make a big shift. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to end this, the exposition part, you might say, and we're going to go to the questions.
Well, is there going to be a break?
Shall we have a break?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a break then. All right. So we're going to have a break, 10 minutes? All right, so we'll have a break for 10 minutes, and we'll see you back here in 10 minutes, and we'll answer your questions at that time. All right, farewell.